Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasins, Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Descarty. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Super fat, you betcha. I'm feeling like $1 million, man. All my predictions have come true. We got some brethren on with us tonight. And boy, oh boy, poor Margo. That poor gal has gone through hell and then some. She's on with us tonight. We've got the Swede and Chris with us. We got the Giants with us. We got Jonah with us. We got one hellacious show for all you guys around the globe. I want to start off by telling everybody out there, I'm so sorry to hear about what's happening in the flooding that's in Florida, in the Carolinas, upstate New York, and back east in particular. My friends have called up and said, Tom, please pray for us. Have your crew around the globe, you know, send their blessings and prayers. We're going through so many problems down here. Between the weather and the flooding, and ladies and gentlemen, it's terrible. It's just horrible. Those of you who are in air conditioning and have great weather, it's not like the rest of the world. believe it or not, there's 70, I think it's 73 million people that have been displaced due to this damn heat and storm. You know, that's what, 20% of our population? What is our government doing to help these people? That's my big question. And, oh, by the way, I've been talking about this now for a year. Have you seen the damn gas prices, folks? I know where you're at. It's a lot cheaper than where the hell I'm at. And I'll tell you, I just filled up again today. You know, $5.49 a gallon. And I talked to somebody in, where was it today? In Georgia. And I said, why are you paying that much? We're only paying $2.63. I says, well, go ask our president. You know, it's a tough world out there, man. And you know, the prices, it's all one thing and then it's something else. But, you know, I got some good news for you. And I learned it from the giant, Mr. Steve Cawthron, which we're going to bring him on in a minute. But we got to bring my real big star on right now. And that's my little girl, Margo. Margo, how are you, honey?
I'm okay. Hi, Tom.
Hi, sweetheart. Ladies and gentlemen, she gave me a call, I don't know, it was about midnight, last night, night before, whatever, and she was scared to beat hell. And she wanted my advice. From, what did I tell you? I told you to hunker down, lock those windows and doors. Get a mattress between you and them grandbabies. Make sure you're locked and loaded. And anything that walks through that door, just empty all your shells out of your firearm, didn't I?
Yep. Boy, I was scared. I never went to sleep till like 4 a.m. I just, holy man, that was the worst I ever felt.
You know, I feel so bad that I can't come right now. But you know what? We have, first of all, I want you to tell everybody around the globe what happened just the other night.
Oh, I was going to throw out because I caught this mouse, and my grandson, he was going to go to the bathroom, and he wouldn't go in there unless I removed the dang mouse. So I was going down my back steps. I had my granddaughter holding the flashlight. She's 10. My grandson's 8. And she was holding the flashlight, so I was going down the stairs. The minute I start going down the stairs in the back of my home, like a big dummy, I should have went out the front, but, and I was going to throw it out. And here, just start banging on the trees right, I couldn't move fast enough. It still shakes me up. But, yeah, that was terrifying. And my granddaughter, she just started screaming, run, Grandma, hurry, you know. And she was like, what was that? You know, because it was loud and, scary. And I came in, locked the doors, grabbed the guns, did all of that. Had my grandkids locked in the bedroom with me. I mean, and then my grandson likes sleeping out on the couch in the living room, like a big boy, so he wouldn't even sleep out here. I wouldn't allow him after that. That was scary. Scared the hell right out of me. That was the worst I've gotten scared since I seen it up on the hill and back here. That was scary. And I couldn't sleep till like 4 o'clock that morning. I finally went out. It was bad. I was just on full alert. I just was afraid for me and my grandkids. So,
wow.
It's scary.
Well, you know, I know, honey. I know it's scary. You know, Jonah's kind of new with us. Jonah, how you doing out there in Pennsylvania?
Dodging the raindrops.
Does it feel like it's tropical over there?
No, there's no humidity. It's just, I was going to take my little guy and ride his bike yesterday, but it rained all day. And then today, he rode his bike for a little bit, and I mowed yard.
So let me ask you something. You just heard her story. You heard Margot's story. If that was you, what would have you done last night?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, the old saying is, you know, if, like, you ever felt like something was going to come through the window, you put up books. So hunkered down with her weapon like she did. I mean, you don't ever, in my opinion, I only hunt venison. So I would never even shoot a bear or take a shot at a Bigfoot. And weapon. Yeah, it seems like Margo has so much activity out there. That's all you can do, you know. Take your advice, Tom, the advice you gave her.
I appreciate that. Go ahead, Margo.
Yeah, and then it kind of, you could kind of smell. It just, it wasn't, it was, I know it was him, and then I was walking out back the next morning. I was looking out back, and, you know, and when I was walking out back, I had my sister-in-law on the phone, and she was talking to me, and I had her on speakerphone, and then pretty soon you can start hearing rocks. She said, "What the hell's that? I'm getting rocks thrown at me now." And I took off inside again, and this was like about 7:30. That's whatever's here doing all this shit. They're annoyed I'm here. Apparently, I don't know why I'm not loud. I don't know.
But let's you know, we went from one neck of the woods on there, the East Coast. Ask Jonah his thoughts. Now let's go down there in the desert and ask Steve his thoughts on this situation. What's your thoughts on this, Steve?
Well, I'm not going to give a whole story about my thoughts. You know what I would do.
You know, I know what you would do, but why don't you tell the people around the globe what you would do?
If it was me, I would do what Tom normally would do, is go out, get up, go outside and investigate. I would take a weapon. Don't get me wrong. I'd hold the gun right next to my side just in case. But I would go out and I would investigate this thing as well, try to make contact with it. Yeah, but I'd be, you know, on the safe side as well.
And I'm glad you used that little bit.
No.
So what happens when she's done all that already?
Do what?
What happens when she's done all of that already? And you know what? You know what a big problem is right now, guys? Is the damn police department does not believe her. It's the old adage again, you know, about the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. Boy that cries wolf, and every time he cries wolf, they're like, "Oh, we don't believe it. It's all BS." And then when he cries wolf again, something actually happens. The police, you know, I've heard that story before. There's a lot of people out there that that'll say, "Oh, it doesn't exist. Oh, it done this." But in the end of the nitty gritty, eventually they're going to see something, and when they do see this thing, their mouth is going to drop.
Which happened when I was down there in Mississippi, Philadelphia, Mississippi, on the res there, and those police guys on the res, they were so scared they wouldn't even go into the brush.
I believe it.
So.
Yeah,
okay.
I blame
them. So, you don't blame
them? No, I don't blame them. I won't go out there.
But,
he tries to come through the door, then I'll start blasting away. But I ain't going to go look for that thing. I seen how big that sucker is. Hell no.
Okay, so when you call the police there on the res, what do they tell you?
They don't believe in those things. I can tell them something's out back, just banging away or whatever, and they won't even come. Right, I had kids raising heck in my yard one time. They got lost. They didn't notice it was all dead end bush back here, and they were stuck in my yard, and they didn't even come for that, and they were raising heck out here. I called them about that time, too, and they, yeah, that's the shit that I get over here.
Okay, so hold on. How would you like that I call with you on the phone right now, your local police department, and I put them through a ringer?
No, I don't want you to do that. I don't want them to know that anything about me having that thing around here either. I won't call them.
But you told me you did call them.
I did. I called them a long time ago before when we heard the banging. My sister didn't. They wouldn't even come. They don't believe it. So I don't even call them for that. We called them when these guys were raising hell. They don't come for that either. And they said they were up here, but I didn't see them. So I know they won't come in. They will not. They don't. They don't do nothing really around here. So it's a big kind of a 60-mile res. You got to think it up. So it's a big res. So I think that's what it is, and they won't come. They don't believe in it. They won't believe you. And I would rather not call them. No. That
okay. Well, that was my last
because
resort.
I don't want my name. I don't want my name out there again. Thinking that you know. No.
Okay. Well, Margo, remember
that's
one thing. All's
private between us guys over the radio over there, they don't, you know, I don't, just that's just talking about it, it helps me with you guys. That's what helps me. They don't help me.
And I told you, we're here for you, okay?
Yeah.
We're here for you. You know, and that's what it's all about. Chris, are you on?
Yep.
How you doing?
All right. Hanging in there.
How's JB?
He's doing all right.
You tell him I said hello,
yeah.
Okay?
For sure.
What's your two cents in this matter? What would you tell Margo?
Well, it would kind of like, you know, I have to know every detail on what's going on as far as like, you know, if there was anything taken, any kind of food, any kind of like, you know, obviously the dogs haven't been killed, any of them that we know of. But if there was, you know, if there was something frequenting my trailer, my house, it makes me wonder why, you know, what I would do. Depending on how close the neighbors are, I might ask the neighbors if they've experienced anything strange or out of the ordinary. If this was consistently coming around and banging on my trailer, I think I would go and get a couple of pickup trucks full of dirt and put it over around my where they've been frequenting, and then just keep it kind of wet so that when they do come through again that they leave some tracks. Maybe I'd, if you have a closed line, maybe I'd hang some fish up there and, you know, leave it muddy underneath so that they, you know, you entice them into leaving some, at least some footprint evidence, you know. See if you can start gifting them, but just be careful because I know that people who have gifted these creatures, they will, if they start taking the bait and they get used to it, it's just like anything else, like in Yosemite or Yellowstone, you know, you start feeding the bears and then they start getting comfortable and then pretty soon it can almost become dangerous because they lose their fear of the human, you know, factor, and sometimes they'll try to, you know, get into your cabin and make a mess of your kitchen, But, you know, I mean, maybe I would leave like a little bait station, and but also, you know, always be aware that once they get used to having something, if you just abruptly stop, they may get a little irritated. I don't know.
I'm in just nothing but thick. It would be hard. The only thing I'm looking for now is where they did the landscaping when they put in my new septic system and all of that. They did it. They brushed the whole lot, and where it was really thick. And I've been looking right there for tracks. I hadn't seen any there. Where it was right out the back of my house, and it is thick with, I mean, TJ and the guys walked back there, and it's thick. So,
yeah, you need to get some motion activated, you know, cameras, if you can afford them or whatever, you know, just kind of place them around where you think that they are coming through.
Yeah, I have with that. I saw, well, I just got, when I took my granddaughter's puppy, it chewed my wires for the one in the back. And it's all thick back there. So that's the one I want to get the cords back for. And then I'll have it on my house where the back stairs is. And then I'll have it on the side of my house where it's really dark all the time. And they do have their, they turn night vision on. So I'll have them all on my camera, on my screen in the house here. So I got to order the wires for that now. But, yeah, that scared the hell out of me the other night, and I just couldn't sleep for nothing. I just, but that was the worst, I mean, in a long time, and I'm good with, nothing's happened since, so knock on wood.
Let me ask you something, Margo. I'm trying to reflect back into all my encounters. How long has this been going on with you?
Since I moved back up here. I put a brand new home back here on my land way back here in 97. That got vandalized like probably 8 years after. So I moved to Fargo. Then I moved back up here, like probably about 5 years ago, maybe. And that's when he was first start coming around, when all the activity was going on. And then I re-got a different place here, and then I got all of this other stuff. And he quiets down, and then just like that, I'll have stuff happening again. So I don't know.
Listen for a second. Do you feel like he's gotten an addiction towards you?
I don't know. Something it's attracted to, and sometimes I wonder if it ain't a family. You know, I seriously wonder if it ain't a family. Because of the different spots that's being knocked on here and there, sometimes you'll just hear one, you know, some knocking here and there, but... And then it's like you're trying to get your camera going and stuff, and by then they're done knocking or doing whatever. But that night,
they seem to know exactly what you're doing, don't they?
Yep, just like they watch me. And then it was just dead silence out yesterday morning when I was on the phone with my sister-in-law. And then she said, "What the hell was that?" And I said, "I don't know." So I ran back inside the back door, and I went out the back door so I can see if I could find tracks or whatever, and I was telling her what happened to me. And, so she was like, "You see anything?" And I was like, I'm looking right now, but it sounded like it was more it was right in the woods, right behind my house. And I said, "I don't see tracks right here, so it hasn't been in the woods yet." But that was so loud, scary. I mean, that shook me up. That was, and it sounded close. And I was actually to walk in there to see which tree, if it broke any bark off of any of the oak trees or anything back there. It's pretty.
No, I understand. I understand. You know, I talked to TJ. He was telling me the story too. So here's my question to you. Do you know any of the elders in the tribe?
Yeah, I know a lot of them.
Okay.
I've
all right. Do
so
you know
couple...
a lot? Of... Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have anyone? Do you know any of them that are spirit makers?
Yeah.
How come you don't contact them? How come they don't come and try to contact the creature there by your house or abolish them by your house? They have the ability, as you know.
Yeah,
I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it over the Apaches in the White Mountains in Arizona. I've seen them perform several ceremonies. Also saw it in the Navajo, okay? Because you have a definite, I think that they're addicted to you for some reason, okay? It's just like when you go into a haunted house, there's a spirit that just couldn't cross over. And why they couldn't cross over, that's the reason why they have to get the people in there to help them and tell them it's okay, move on, come to the light. I believe that that's what's happening with you. This is my personal opinion. If you're as tight as you say you are with the medicine men or the spirit leaders or whoever the elders are, I bet you can get them to come over. All you need to do is make them an offering, and they'll come. And whether they burn the peyote or whatever it is to cleanse get rid of the bad spirits and cleanse your house. I've seen it done. I'm telling you that right now. And I think it can happen with you because it's too much of a routine happening at your place. Swede, are you on with us? Because I know that Swede, ladies and gentlemen, he's been so tied up. He's got so much stuff going on. Are you on with us, Swede? Okay. So he's still not back, but he was nice enough to piggyback Chris with us. What's your take on this, Steve, Catherine?
You know, my experience with these Sasquatch beings, I can't say much for Margot's because I don't know the situation. I mean, I heard what she's going through, and I was sitting back listening to her talk about, you know, where you said put like cameras outside or something like that. And I remember my show co-host a couple years ago before he passed on, he told me that he would put some, what do you call those, game cams outside. But those game cams had a very, what do you call it, ion battery. And these creatures can smell these batteries inside of these game cams. That's why you can never catch one on the cam. But he had a good idea about something. He said, put a game cam on one tree where it's facing another game cam, say, 50 yards away, and put a mirror below on each side of the tree so the mirror is facing each other. So when this creature comes into view, it doesn't matter which game cam he's going to avoid. He's going to have a picture taken of him.
Wow.
that's a new look at something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Excellent.
We also talked about go ahead.
No. Go ahead. You got the floor.
I was going to say, you could also try glow sticks, sir. These things are attracted to things never seen before, like glow sticks. You shake them up, you crack them, you put them up in a tree. These things are weird. When I was doing investigation, when you're outside and you're doing investigation on something, you get this funny idea, you get this weird feeling you're being watched because the back hair on the back of your neck stands up. And you know it's not a human being, and you're looking around like, who's looking at me? And there's no roads or houses in front of you. It's an eerie feeling you get, so I know exactly what you're going through.
Yep.
Well, Margo, we have a treat for you, Margo.
Yeah.
We have a treat for you tonight. Okay. We're going to do a pause for the cause. We're going to do a commercial, and on the other side of the commercial, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cawthron is going to tell you about this new situation that he just endured. Sent me over a little ditty, and he's going to talk about it to you and everybody else around the globe. But right now, let's just go and do one commercial, try to do a pause for the cause. We'll be right back. On the other side, the giant himself is going to be on telling all of you guys his story.
Cool.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else. Mm-hmm.
Bigfoot lives to a movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Every time I listen to that little ditty, the hairs in the back of my neck go up because I was there each and every one of those episodes where those things happened. Like I told you before, we'd like to bring on Mr. Steve Cawthron. We call him the Gentle Giant for two reasons. Number one, he seems to know what he's doing. At least you think so, for sure. But
half the time.
And he's got, yeah, there you go, half the time. But he sent me this over, and I'm going to have him tell you the story. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Steve Cawthron. Steve,
well,
tell everybody about what you sent me.
Do what?
Tell everybody what you sent me.
Oh, well, I sent Tom what I did back in 2016 when I lived up in Shasta County, was a video of from my old radio show that I was doing back in Shasta County. This video shows where I'm, you know, walking around this old stagecoach road founded in 1851 in Shasta County, not too far from Centerville, California, which is not too far again from Whiskeytown Lake. I know how to get it. I know how to get to this place. Always have. I was raised in Redding all my life as a child growing up, and I've seen some very weird and strange things. And I know I would know better to say that they don't exist because I know that they do. I was out in the field doing some research. I found these two prints that were sitting in this wet dirt. And when you look at the prints in the video, you can tell these prints were very fresh. They weren't just made a couple days ago. I mean, these prints were actually fresh. It was in February 9th. Now, if you look at the video at the bottom, it gives a totally different date. Now, the reason it gave a totally different date, I was wearing what we call those, they're called camera glasses or spy camera glasses or whatever the hell you want to call them. I bought them off of eBay. And I didn't want to adjust the stupid things, so I just put the things on, put the card inside, and I was, you know, experimenting with them. Now, I did get some good shots with these camera glasses on, but the video was a little shaky and everything else. But anyhow, you keep going. Right in front of this footprint, there was another footprint. And I tried to take, as I'm illustrating in the video, I'm trying to take the stretch of the walk that the Bigfoot did. I almost broke my neck doing it. So I'm turning around and I'm pointing up here in the opposite way. And as I'm doing this, I sat back, and to this day, I still sit back and I think about there was a black object up on the hill looking at me. And I'm like, I could have swore there was a black figure up on that hill, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I don't know, dreaming it or something. So I took the video and I put it on a deal on, what was it, Google, and I took the video and I had it spliced into what they call JPG pictures. I got it back, put it on my computer, opened the zip, and I'm looking at them, and all of a sudden I see this one photograph where I'm pointing my finger, and you can see this little tiny black figure across the embankment where this little creek is at. And it's staring back at me. But like I said, the camera glasses I was using wasn't very good quality. They were Chinese. I mean, what do you expect? And the weird part about it was I should have took a picture of it, but I didn't, or a video of it. There were abalone shells right along the side of the bank. And there's nowhere in that whole area where you could find abalone shells, but there were footprints right next to them. And I'm thinking, this has got to be a Bigfoot, because Bigfoots are the only thing I know that love to get abalone and just eat the hell out of these things. Now, I sent the video to Tom.
Were you inland? Were you inland?
I was inland. I was in Shasta County. You've been there.
So where in the hell did they go to the coast to get the abalone?
I don't know. I've never seen abalone in Shasta County before. That's what makes my head scratch. But the point I'm making, I sent you the video. Now, you can take the video and you can put it through whatever process you want. Maybe you'll find something in it that I missed. I don't know. But when I saw that little black thing on the hill staring back across the creek from me, I get this funny-ass feeling, because when I was out there, I felt somebody looking at me, because as you said, the hair in the back of your neck just keeps standing up, and that's the same exact feeling I got out there.
Are you sure they weren't freshwater mussels?
There you go.
They could have been fresh. They were kind of oblong looking, kind of white. I don't know. And they looked like half the brown skin was tore off of them or something like that. I'm not sure, but there was a stack of them.
Oh, yeah, that's abalone. Yeah. Freshwater mussels have like
mussels.
The same pearl color, but they're not white. They're like clam looking abalone.
Yeah, these were
kind
of white,
but
the skin was green. Skin was like peeled off of it. Now,
yeah, they
have
freshwater mussels, but they're bluish black, and then the inside is kind of like a bluish pearlescent.
Yeah, this is kind of about
what about freshwater clams, fellas?
Yeah, I know about freshwater clams. Giant clam, it's like a giant clam shell. You open it up, and it has like a pearl inner coating to it. And usually, like, I don't know, I guess around here, the raccoons go to the creek bank and get them, or otters get them. But, yeah, we don't have any abalone, just those big freshwater clams, mussels.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The first beginning of this video, the prints I saw weren't no raccoon prints. They were way too big for that. Anyhow, about down at the ending of this video, I went to the other side of the lake, and this video was when Tanya was with me. Now, Tom likes Tanya. I don't know why, but he said he liked Tanya better. Anyhow, Tanya was with me in the Jeep or the pickup, whatever what I was driving at the time, and I was down there walking along the river, or not the river, but the lake. Well, there's actually Clear Creek River goes into Whiskey Town Lake, so you might as well say the river. And I'm down there walking along this muddy river, and you can see footprints all over down there. You can see raccoon footprints. You can see deer footprints. You can see wolf footprints. But there was a few other footprints you could actually tell that didn't actually belong there, if you get my drift.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about you not belong there, because it's a waterway, and all animals know where to go and drink.
Right, but there was a few regular, looked like humanistic footprints, but they weren't human. And then you could see an area where something was clawing at the mud, trying to get something out of the mud.
Hey, sure. Clams. By the way, Chris, are you aware of this video that he sent me? Because you were with him a long time.
Yeah, but
yeah,
Chris wasn't
I
with you when
I... I saw the video, and I know that those old railroads, decommissioned railroad right-of-ways are, you know, obviously places where there's going to be, they're going to be in those areas, you know. It makes perfect sense because there's already a clearing, and the other animals like deer will use that because, you know, they don't want to rough it through brush if they don't have to. They'll go, you know, along a easier path of least resistance. And then, you know, one of these creatures, knowing that, the all they have to see is the frequency of animal tracks going down this kind of a right-of-way, and they just will sit there like at an ambush choke point and wait, you know, for something to come walking through to maybe where one of these things come close to a water source or whatever. But yeah, you know, I believe that that would be a good place for, you know, doing research.
And Chris has been in this area because, you know, Chris knows Shasta County just as well as I do. This place was up near Shasta Masonic Center, or Cemetery, I should say. And it's not too far away from Whiskey Town Lake either. And Whiskey Town Lake has been known for a lot of Bigfoot sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to see that you guys know each other so well. That's fantastic. So, Margo?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that story?
That's
yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty gnarly, huh?
Yeah. I'd like to see the
now,
video.
Well, you know what? I'm going to connect you with the Gentle Giant because he's about ready to pick up stakes and he's coming up north. And I'm hoping, if you invite him up to your place, I'm sure he'd move up, you know, come up in his travel trailer that he lives in, that he drives. He'd drive up there and stake himself out there for a little bit and see what's going on. Wouldn't you do that, Steve?
Yeah, if I had the funds, this thing gets like 10 miles of the gallon. Where is Margo at anyhow, on the East Coast?
No. North Dakota.
Oh, North Dakota. Okay, she's in the Badlands.
Yeah. No.
Now, we got something for you. At least he does. And when I found out about this today, I said, how come nobody told me about it? Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got your ears on around the globe due to the fact that our dear friend, Mr. Stephen Cuthran, has laid a little something on me and Margo and all of us here may be able to take advantage of it. It's called the ACP phone service on the internet. And anybody who's a senior citizen, I guess, today can just go there and they can get themselves a free phone, which will give you free minutes, free internet. Tell them the whole story there, Mr. Cawthorn.
Okay. The way the ACP works, it's a program for senior citizens, people with disabilities. Basically what it was years ago, it used to be called the Obama phone system. I think Obama created it just to make himself look good. That didn't really work all that well for him, though. Anyhow, when Trump was in office, Trump changed it to the ACP communication for people low income, senior citizens, people that were 65 and over, and everything else. And if you go to some of these websites, you can sign up with these websites that have the ACP program. And they seem to work out pretty good. It says, get a free and affordable AT&T internet each month with the Affordable Connectivity Program. Get help with your internet service, monthly costs with Affordable Connectivity Program, faster upload speeds, super fast internet, fast whole home Wi-Fi. I mean, and sometimes it'll include $10 a month. I mean, you can't beat that. Just go to Google, type in ACP program. It'll take you to whatever company does it, and it's incredible. I mean, I've got one here in front of me. I have unlimited minutes. I have unlimited internet. I can't complain.
No, and I think it's a great ditty that everybody around the globe should know about this. Now, I didn't know about it. Did you know about it, Jonah?
Nope, not at all.
You didn't. Margo, did you know about it?
Nope, never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. So, I mean, this is a great thing because, you know, since the invention of the phone with Alexander Graham Bell, I mean, I don't know about anybody else. I spend a lot of money to AT&T, okay? And it costs me a lot of dough. And if I know that I can get something for next to nothing, if not nothing, man, I'd
gonna go for it.
Like that, like stink on shit. You bet your sweet ass I would, man. Are you kidding me? And
here's the thing. I know Tom doesn't like Magic Jack at all, but I do. You see, I tried telling my mother years ago, man, you need to get a Magic Jack because Magic Jack, you pay $50 a year. You call anywhere you want, United States, $50 a year. How could you not pass that up? My mom says, no, I don't want that thing. That costs too much. I'm sitting there looking at her, scratching my head like, how does that cost too much? It's $50 a year, not $50 a month. Good grief.
So tell everybody about that one.
Okay. $50 a year, Magic Jack. Everybody's heard of Magic Jack. It's a little tiny stick. You can plug it in the back of your modem, and for $50 a year, you can call Canada, you can call Mexico if you want, or you can call anybody you want in the United States for free, just for $50 a month. You have call blocking, call waiting. What's that one where people call you that it what's that one called?
Conference calling.
You have conference calling. I'm trying to think what the other one is. It's like caller ID. You got all this stuff with it. You can't beat it. And you can even block numbers with it, too.
Well, Margo, were you aware of Magic, whatever the hell he said?
No.
Me
I
neither.
Never heard of it.
Do you hear what you said? I want one of them sticks.
If you go online on eBay, and sometimes you can get them for like $20 a piece, to me they're worth it.
So
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. What other goodie or gadget have you come across that that our listeners would love to hear about?
Well, I know how to keep your prostate shrunk and not have to worry about a large prostate. Drink a lot of watermelon juice.
So,
I know a lot of other things I've told Tom, but I'm not going to mention it on here. I ain't that crazy.
Well, I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. He must be using something right, because he told me today that his girlfriend, you're how old now, 63?
I'm 63. My girlfriend's 35.
35 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear that? 35.
You don't believe me? Ask Chris.
Oh, is that true, Chris?
I didn't check her ID, but she definitely doesn't look. She don't even look 35. She looks more like she's 28.
Well, you must have some magic. You must. Everybody else got the magic stick. You got the magic tongue. That's the only thing I can think of.
No comment.
No, he's got magic jack.
All I can tell you to do is go to your nearest Asian store and pick up something called ginseng. And if you don't believe me, get a hold of Swede. He'll tell you all there is about ginseng root.
Oh, Swede knows all about the ginseng root?
Anybody who lives in Arkansas knows all there is about ginseng root.
Okay, so where do you get your ginseng?
I go to the Asian store and pick mine up.
Is it for free?
Well, you got to pay something like $10, $12 for 100 bags, but to me it's worth it.
100 bags?
Yeah, you get, I think for 10 or 12 bucks, you get 100 tea bags. And ginseng root's good for a lot of things. It's good for your pineal gland. It's good for a lot of stuff in your body. And a lot of people don't even realize this. They have something on the market. They got something on the market.
Listen. Yeah, wait, before you get into that, Dr. Giant, tell everybody about the silver stuff that you started to take. Colical silver, what the hell did you call it?
Okay, you can ask Chris this. Chris ended up getting this sore throat, so I sent Chris a bottle of my homemade colloidal silver. Chris, what's it do for you?
Keeps you healthy, that's for sure. I mean, I was volunteering with the U.S. Forest Service over at the local hot spring during the height of COVID-19. We really didn't want people to keep, you know, it was weird because we were living in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden we kind of had this conclave to ourselves. And then when COVID hit, people started coming up our canyon in droves in their RVs and everything, trying to escape the city because they were scared. And they were using the hot spring and leaving messes. And, you know, everybody that I worked with on my crew, they all got COVID. I didn't get COVID. And I can think the only thing that I was doing different from them was taking colloidal silver.
So what if
my colloidal silver is 20,000 parts per million. So all you have to do is take this stuff. If you have a sore throat, it doesn't have to be too bad of a sore throat, but if you have a sore throat when you wake up in the morning, take a few squirts like you would in your mouth, like a few squirts in the back of your throat, swallow, or you can gargle with this stuff. Within a few minutes, your sore throat's gone. That's how good this stuff works.
Is that what happened to you, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been a lifesaver.
And I just started making more of this stuff again because my friend Bob that lives across the border, he bought the silver, and I'm starting to making colloidal silver again for everybody.
Well, that's pretty damn nice. Are you going to send some of that You're gonna have some of that stuff when you go see Margo?
Actually, if I can get set up with Margo, I can send her a bottle of it.
Oh, nice.
What do you think of that?
Free of charge.
Oh, sounds good to me.
Anybody on Tom's show, even Tom, I'll send a bottle out there free of charge. You can try this stuff out. I guarantee you, I don't care what germ you got. I don't care if it's pigitis, fluitis, pimpitis. It'll get rid of it.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear him, ladies and gentlemen, around the globe? Pimpitis. What about you, Jonah? What do you need?
Yeah, I'll take a sample. I mean, it sounds like gospel to me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It was back in, I did research on colloidal silver. Back during the, the Dark Ages, back during the 1600s where the Black Plague came through, there's an article that I read, and it said that colloidal silver even killed the Black Plague. They've even used this stuff during the time of Rome. Romans would used to take silver plates when they had wounds on their arm, and they'd take pure silver and wrap their arms with it. Within a couple of days or so, their arms were healed from the wounds.
Oh,
totally amazing. You know what I don't understand? If this thing was so great and so good, how come the rest of the world don't know about it?
And the rest of the world does know about it. Here's the thing. Back in 1925, colloidal silver was used worldwide. It was better than anything in the world ever made until they came out with penicillin. And everybody knows penicillin don't do squat. And penicillin only kills a certain thing. They took colloidal silver off the market because it's an all-natural product. And they can't make a profit on an all-natural product. So the pharmaceuticals started using, believe it or not, penicillin.
Yeah, they can't make a patent on it because it's been around. It kills over 800 different viruses and pathogens, including SARS, MERS, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, all the strains of COVID, monkeypox. It's effective treatment against HIV and herpes simplex. The list just goes on and on. I tried to put it up on, a PDF that I found online that was government sponsored in 2021 onto Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg took it down. He basically froze my account until I took it down. I wasn't able to use my account. But meanwhile, for the people that out there,
back at the ranch, clock on the wall. Sorry, Todd. Time out. Clock on the wall, folks. Saying it's time out. And boy, the hour just ran, didn't it? You never know who we're going to have on the show. We have the Giants, and Jonah. Thank you, Sweet. If you came on, thank you, Chrissy. You know the world of you, Jonah, Giant. I'll put you in connection with the rest of these people. God love you. And by the way, this month will be our 20th year on the internet. We've been streaming for 20 years. Before the month's out, we're going to have our anniversary show. So I'm going to be calling a lot of you people. Kudos. And
have a good night, everybody. Good night.
Show
you
the man show again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Great story.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before.